Shabbat shalom, everyone. Welcome. Shabbat shalom to all the viewers out there on the internet. We welcome you. And to our Yehuda Messianic Jewish congregation in Bristol, Virginia. And today we were going to have Rabbi Joseph Bell speaking, and he unfortunately was in a car accident. So he will not be here today, so we apologize for that. I know it was advertised that Rabbi would be here today. So let's just keep him in our prayers. And he's on his way back, him and Ribbitz and Dawn and Isaac and Joshua, but they're okay. So we will be doing some liturgy, Anthony and I, and just please join us. And those of you at home, please do take this time to get some crackers or matzah and join us for the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. And we have Mr. Anthony Cody will be doing the drash today. And at least I believe so. And then we will try to queue up the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America on the mjaa.org website to listen to the sermon. And to stay tuned for that. And we love to have us just all worship the Lord. That's why we're here today. This is God's day. This is his Shabbat. And we just love the Lord. So praise the Lord. Anthony?
Blessings of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu dek herek ha'yeshua Mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Ma tov. Matovu, O Halekah Yaakov, Mishtenotekah Yisrael, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. Thy tabernacles, Israel. Veni Baruch Adecha, Avo Betecha, Eshtakaveh Elecha, Chashika Yiratecha. And in thy great compassion, I will come into your house. There I will bow, there I will fear thy holiness, O Lord.
O Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord thy Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Vishamru v'nei Yisrael. Let HaShabbat Lasso et HaShabbat Ledo Tambourin Golam Bishamru Vene Israel Let HaShabbat Lasso et HaShabbat Ledo Tambourin Golam B'nai, oh B'nai, B'nai Israel, B'nai Israel, Ot hi lo lam v'shamru, B'nai Israel, Let ha-shabbat laso et ha-shabbat ledo tambourine do lam. Kikei shel amin asa Adonai, asa Adonai, et ha-shamayim ha-aretz v'shamru, v'nei Yisrael, le'et ha-shabbat laso et ha-shabbat ledo tambourine do lam. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're just going to pray for Jerusalem right now. Diane, you want to do that?
Actually, I'm going to ask Wendell. Wendell, could you please come up here and pray for Jerusalem? I got it.
Let's all pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Jerusalem, your holy city, God. God, and we ask, God, that peace will cover that city and the whole nation of Israel, Lord. Lord, we pray for every rabbi, Lord, that's leading the flock, God, this morning, God, that you would be with them, Lord. Lord, we ask you to place a hedge of protection around them, Lord. Let peace come to Israel, Lord. We pray for peace, God. God, that you would move for them, Lord, and keep them, Lord, because, Lord, in the end, God, they're going to be the head, Father, because you'll be there with them, Lord. And we thank you, Yeshua, in Yeshua's holy name. We pray for all the rabbis in the United States, Lord, the Jewish people in the United States, God, that you would also protect those in this hour, God, that we're in, Lord. And we just thank you for those people, Lord. Lord, watch over them, protect them, and keep them. In Yeshua's name, amen.
I'm going to read Isaiah 52, verse 7. Manavu. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay, you can stand for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malhuto Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit on your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to turn on the conference now.
We'll sing Mika Mocha. Want to sing Mika Mocha?
Mika Mocha.
Mika Mocha, B'leim Adonai. Mika Mocha, Nedar Bar Kodesh. Nor Atalilo, O say Fele, O say Fele. Who is like thee, O Lord among the gods?
And what is the answer to that ancient question? Ain kamoka balim adonai balim kamaseka malkuka malmuko omin omishika beka bekor dovador adonai melech adonai melok adonai imlok leoam vayen adonai os leomo yutain adonai varechetemo vashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. There is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How are we doing on the live stream?
We're going to be going to the Torah service at the live stream in Grantham, Pennsylvania at Messiah Conference. Then we just do the table after all that.
Okay.
Do the offering. Are the kids going downstairs?
Well, I hope you're ready to hear a good message right now, because Rabbi Eric Lakatos is coming out, and Rabbi Eric is a Gen X rabbi. He leads Tikvat Yisrael Messianic Congregation in Cleveland, Ohio. A member of the Cleveland needs a little love. A member of the IMCS Steering Committee. Rabbi Eric is committed to Messianic Jewish revival and seeing Jewish and non-Jewish people.
Well,
discipled.
I hope you're ready
as
to hear
in the Messiah.
A good message
and
right now,
Messianic
because
Jewish
Rabbi
community
Eric
in Lakatos
Cleveland
is coming
out.
A warm
out
welcome for Rabbi
Eric
Lakatos. Is a Gen X rabbi. He leads Tikvat Yisrael Messianic Congregation in Cleveland, Ohio. A member
Shabbat
of the
Shalom.
Cleveland needs a little love. A member of the IMCS.
Hallelujah. We are ready for some fresh manna. Amen. I believe I have a message from the Lord for us this morning. And I want to start off with a scripture that sometimes we overlook. And I'd like to start with 1 Corinthians 13:12. And in verse 12 it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." Dear Mishpucha, as we end this amazing conference where we have abundantly feasted at the Master's table this entire week, we will soon return home to the mundane, the ordinary, the routine responsibilities of our lives. But I want you to remember one lesson that I have for you today. In this world, in the Olam Hazeh, we do not see everything that is going on around us spiritually. We know God, his son, Yeshua ben Elohim, and we have his Ruach HaKodesh, and he fully knows us. But we would do well to remember that until the day of full redemption, our vision is limited to what God allows us to see and know. Just as it says in the Torah in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to Adonai our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever in order to do all the words of this Torah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our Parasha Hashuvah this week and the Haftarah both speak of Balak and Bilam and the narrative of how they conspired together to curse Israel and to bring our nation into complete destruction. But the Almighty One, the Holy One of Israel, intervened with the help of no man, and he saw fit to control the mouth of Bilam, the wicked prophet, thereby protecting and shielding our people from the coming onslaught. However, our Heavenly Father, our fathers, our patriarchs, knew nothing of this drama that was unfolding before them and was going on around them. While our ancestors sat in their tents lounging, the Mogen Avraham, the shield of Abraham, was interceding on our behalf, saving us from certain doom. And ladies and gentlemen, this is an encouraging message that reminds us that while we enjoy a prophetic end time revival as the Messianic Jewish movement today, we enjoy a certain level of advanced revelation in the Ruach HaKodesh, nevertheless, we must still know that God is waging war against our enemies, even on our behalf today, without us ever even knowing it. Think about it. This truth, ladies and gentlemen, is comforting to us. Despite what we see with our eyes, we must put our faith back in complete trust in the loving care of our Heavenly Father. And to the extent that we are in submissive relationship with Yeshua, who makes us into his righteousness and into his purity, which will all deflect. We will have that protective shield which will deflect and extinguish every single wicked assault that the enemy comes against us as individuals, as communities, and as this prophetic Messianic Jewish end times movement. That's what this message is about. And I've entitled it Behind the Scenes. Behind the Scenes. The first point I want to talk about very quickly is God is always working behind the scenes. He's always working behind the scenes. And in our parasha, the first two chapters, chapters 22, beginning in verse 2, all the way through chapter 24, there's a dramatic plot unfolding among the Gentile nations, Moab and Midian. And it is as if this were a movie where the scene changes from the protagonist, the hero, Israel, to the antagonist, Bilam and Balak. And the scene changes, and now we see this unfolding. And throughout these two chapters, there's absolutely no evidence that Israel knows anything about what's going on. And what's interesting to me is that God saw fit to have these developments recorded for us in the Torah. Why do you think God wanted us to know about all these events that took place with Balak and Bilam? Well, the answer, ladies and gentlemen, I believe lies in the Haftarah portion, which is Micah 6, verse 5, which says, O my people, remember, please, and that's the key word right there, remember, remember, Zachor, what Balak, king of Moab, proposed. What did Balaam, son of Beor, answer him? From Shittim as far as Gilgal, so that you might acknowledge the righteous acts of Adonai. So see, God says, remember these things. He wanted us to know that this happened so that we would remember, just as Yeshua says in the Passover Seder, Zachor, remember me. As often as you do this, remember. It's very important that we remember these events in our Torah portion because God wants us to acknowledge his saving righteous acts. Amen? And yes, it is he who is righteous. It is he who saves us. It is not of ourselves. It is not by our own hands. It is he who delivers us from the power of our enemies. And this is where the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go home. We're going to face our challenges, our obstacles, our tsuris, our problems, our roadblocks, and perhaps even a little illness or spiritual life-threatening plots to destroy us. But I'm here to tell you today to remember his righteous acts. Acknowledge them. Remember what he did to Balak and Bilam. Remember now and then when you're facing the onslaught. that you may not understand what is going on or what you see before you, but remember this lesson. Just as Job had no idea of the conversation in heaven that took place between Hasatan and the Almighty, and when everything came crashing down in his life, all he could say was this verse in Job 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. This is what we need to do now. And remember, while we're in basking in the joy of our final day of this conference, remember the shield of Abraham. My final point, I'll close with this, is inviting trouble into our own homes. If you look at this Torah portion and the whole Sidra, it ends in chapter 25 with all of this coming down. Israel is protected, but all of that protection, ladies and gentlemen, becomes undone by our own hands. Our own calamity, because we invited immorality into our midst. Look at this verse, chapter 25, Numbers. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with the women of Moab, and they invited the people. Look at this. We were invited, or if we invited, it doesn't matter. We accepted an invitation to practice immorality. And when Israel became bound to the Baal Peor, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we invite calamity into our own homes sometimes. Sometimes terrible things happen to us, and we wonder why, and we wring our hands in frustration. But sometimes when we compromise our position of purity and holiness, we are inviting the calamity into our own homes, and the protective shield that is around us is lifted away. We cannot afford to ever do that, to give in to temptation or to hold unforgiveness or bitterness or revenge or anger or unclean speech. Whatever it is, ladies and gentlemen, just as our ancestors invited immorality into the tent, we must never do that. Let us devote ourselves to never doing that as we go forward from this conference. And how do we do that? Paul says we need to put on the new man. And this is the final verse. I'll close with Ephesians 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, indeed I insist on it in the Lord, walk no longer as the pagans do, stumbling around in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them due to the hardness of their heart. Since they are past feeling, they have turned themselves over to indecency for the practice of every kind of immorality with greed for more. However, you did not learn Messiah in this way. If indeed you have heard him, you were taught in him as the truth is in Yeshua. With respect to your former lifestyle, you are to lay aside the old self, corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then finally skip down and look at verse 27. Nor give the devil a foothold. Ladies and gentlemen, there's the key. There's the key to it all right there. Let us not give the devil a foothold in our homes. God bless you as you go forth from this conference. Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Great job, Rabbi Eric. Wonderful to hear from one of our younger rabbis, and he just gave a terrific message. We're going to continue with some of the traditional worship of the Saturday Shabbat service. I'm going to invite Max Olin to come up and lead us in the English in the Avot. If everybody would please stand together and join Max in the Avot section of the Amidah.
Blessed are you, Lord our God and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows loving kindness and creates all, and remembers the righteousness of the fathers, and brings a Redeemer to their children's children, for his name's sake with love. O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu ve'Elohei avoteinu Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Velohei Yaakov, Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanora El Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, V'Kone Hakol, V'Zocher Chasdei Avot, Umevi goel ivne vneham, lema'an shemo bi'ahava, melech ozer u'moshiach u'magen. Baruch atah Adonai, magen Avraham.
Amen. And we'll continue with the Gibor, led by Alicia Edwards. Please join her.
O Lord, you are mighty forever. You raise the dead. You are mighty to save. You sustain the living with grace and resurrect the dead with abundant mercy. Uphold the falling, heal the sick, and set free those in bondage, and keep faith with those that sleep in the dust. Who is like you, master of mighty deeds? And who can compare to you, king, who causes death and restores life and makes salvation sprout? And you are faithful to resurrect the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who resurrects the dead.
Atagi bar le'olam Adonai, mechayei meitim, atarav lehoshia, mechalkel chayim b'chesed, mechayei meitim, b'rachamim robim, samech noflim, b'rofei cholim, umatir asurim, umkayem emunata, Lishenei afar Michamocha Bagvurot Umidom elach Melech meimit Umchaye Umatmiach Yeshua V'neheman Ata L'hachayot Meitim Baruch atah Adonai, mechayei hametim.
Amen. We'll continue with the mourner's Kaddish. You can stay standing or not. If you're remembering a loved one, I know there's different traditions with this. You definitely are invited to stand as Marty leads us in the mourner's Kaddish. Otherwise, you can sit or stand as you choose.
Yit gadal v'yit kadash shemei rabah b'yalma divrach irutei V'yamlich malchute V'chayechon uv'yomechon U'v'chayed chol bed Yisrael V'agala uv'izman koriv V'yimaru amen Yeheshmeira b'mevorach li'olam u'lom e'olmaya yitborach yitborach v'yishtabach v'yitpohar v'yitromam v'yiznase v'yithadar v'yithaleh v'yithalah shemei d'kudusha v'rihu li'ela min kol birchata v'shirata tush birchata v'nechemata da miron biolma vehimaru amen. O se shalom bimromav, huya se shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, vimru, imru, amen. Ya se shalom. Yaseh shalom, shalom aleinu, v'al kol Yisrael. Yaseh shalom, yaseh shalom, shalom aleinu, v'al kol Yisrael.
Vimru, amen. You could be seated.
Shabbat Shalom. I love this opportunity to come up here to share with you just for a minute. I get two questions a lot in the last couple years. One question is, what is it like being president of the Messianic Jewish Alliance? And the other question is, where does all our money go? And I love the opportunity to speak about the Alliance because I'm just so proud to be a part of this ministry and all that we do. And a lot of times we have offerings and people wonder, where's the money going? The conference, we pay for the conference. Well, you're paying for the conference, covers a little bit, but we do so much more in the MJA. We bring over rabbis from all over the world. We're bringing over the Israelis. They come here. Well, they give us that extra little enthusiasm. No, the Spirit does. But they give us a little extra push. We give money to the young people, the Young Alliance. And we're looking for every way we can to help. So the MJA does a lot there. We have our national conferences, which are great. We have our regionals. We got the Southeast in Florida. We got a great one if you want. The weather is great in Southern California. We got a great Southwest Conference. We got the Heartland. We're thinking of adding new ones. But your MJA helps to supply what we need for a lot of those things. But we're also very involved, and I love the Rabbis Conference in January. And that's really a great time for a lot of the rabbis, their elders, and their wives. We get together. And people don't realize when we're talking to our European representative, Rabbi David Schneier, he tells us that, you know, we'd like to bring over some rabbis to experience this. We love to experience here Saturday morning, or actually MJA conference. But the rabbis, we'd like them to come over here. And he says, can we help bring some of them over from the Ukraine? And then the other day, it really hit me. I've heard it before. He said, because these rabbis are so alone over there in the Ukraine and the Eastern, Western Europe. And he says, for the winter months, now listen carefully, these rabbis have an opportunity, they have a choice of either eating or heating. Do you hear that? Some of them can either heat their places or eat. They have nothing. And we come here and we have so much, and they're overwhelmed when they come here. We have a great, great opportunity, and we do. We spend. We share and we give for our young people. We give to the IMCS. And then there's this new thing that we've been doing for the last couple of years. Actually, I don't know how many years already. Aish. You're all familiar with Aish. I like that because it really makes me feel young again. We get together these younger kids between 18 and 35, and we train them, between 100 and 200 of them, and we teach them in apologetics. We get Marty and other people and Paul to do music. We bring in Jonathan Burness to lead in leadership, and that time is just so exciting for me. when they're just their worship, their praise, and it's just a wonderful time. We get together in the mid-January with them, right after the rabbis' conference, and there's just so much going on. And then I hear our young people get up here, and I remember we started here in 72. When I came here, I was one of the young people then. But now we have so much. They have conferences throughout the United States and each one of our regionals. It's just an incredible thing that we are doing in the Alliance. And we should realize that that's where all our funds are going. You have a tremendous opportunity to be able to give to that. And that's what we're doing. We continue to do, of course, you know, our Joseph Project. I like summarizing. That's what we're doing. The Joseph Project. I like the, what is it, the Israel Flying Aid or Israel's Aid Flying? I'm not sure how they do that. But we're giving aid to all them. They're coming to us, the Joseph Project. And these are believers, non-believers. We are the ones who are leading the world in humanitarian aid to Israel. And then we have Dadi Solomon giving checks. I love that. To the Israel Messianic Jewish Israel Fund. Okay, right. And so our finances are really being spread out. Ethiopia, and we see the wells that we're digging. Of course, I'd like, and we should remember, the main idea in Ethiopia is to try to get the Jewish believers out of Ethiopia back to the land of Israel. So our finances, it is a good thing to invest. And it's worthy. And I always think whenever you're presenting something about people giving, what am I giving to? That's what you're giving to. And it's tremendously, tremendously important. But I do want to share, I always like to share a couple verses. The why is very clear. We are doing the work of the ministry. MJAA, you are doing it. But I want us to just see a couple verses on how we do it. And a couple verses that spring to my mind. One is in a book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord. When you reach into your pocket, you are honoring God. And sometimes we don't think of that. When you wake up in the morning and have your devotions, and you're praying, and you're reading, and you're serving, a tremendous way to serve is to give financially to the to God's work. And this work is a great, great work. So we say in Proverbs, honor the Lord from your wealth. From the first of all your produce, not the end. As soon as you get your checks, you should be writing out checks to your congregation and then to us, MJA. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Proverbs, again, chapter 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is your power to do it. We in America have the power to be able to help and to give financially. Do not say, I'll give to my neighbor tomorrow, when you have it today. So we should make sure we're giving to God first above all things. In 1 Corinthians, it says, chapter 16, verse 2, on the first day of every week, let each of you put aside and save as he may prosper. We live in a time of prosperity. God is good to us. And we should be able to give God as God has prospered you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 puts it this way. Let each one of you do as you have purposed in your heart. Determine what you're going to give. How much you're going to, even before you come here. But then as the Spirit of God leads you, you might choose to give a little extra. I have three mentors in my life who taught me about giving. You don't need to know who they are. They're involved in our alliance. But they used to teach me. I used to say, you know, am I giving too much? And actually, Joel Chernoff once said to me, can you outgive God? I thought I was giving too much. But he is one of my mentors. Give. And their view to me was always, give. What are you worried about? God takes care of you. Give. And so we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, give from your heart. Not grudgingly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So when you give, start laughing. Everyone, start laughing. I know it's hard. You reach out and start laughing as you give. One of my favorite verses that I always like to quote, though, is this one. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly, my translation, he who is cheap, God notices. He who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. just prayer over what God.
Baruch Hashem. Well, it's really touching and moving to see all these young faces up here, isn't it? And we got some terrific young adults up here, mostly ages 18 to 25, from the East Coast, West Coast, all points in between. And we've got a lot more planned for them later. But right now we have a special, special guest here. Pastor David Hess is the senior pastor of Christ Community Church right here in Mechanicsburg, PA. Great friend of the MJAA and the Messianic Jewish Movement, a mega church with over 1,500 members. He authored the book, Hope Beyond Reason, an amazing account of God's prevailing power and healing over cancer, in which Pastor Dave was attacked by an aggressive, life-threatening strain of leukemia and was supernaturally healed. We're blessed and honored to have Pastor David Hess here this morning. Please give him a warm welcome, Pastor David Hess.
Shabbat Shalom. I declare that over you today as a blessing, because I believe that our Father is bringing us into the ultimate Shabbat. The first, a letter to the first generation of Messianic followers of Yeshua contains this declaration. Hebrews 4, 9 to 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Yeshua told us that as we are yoked with him, we would discover rest for our souls. And rest is not inactivity. Actually, rest is the supernatural activity of God refreshing us and recreating us and bringing us into a fearless confidence. And that's the place he is bringing us into. Shabbat is more than a natural remembrance or observance. It is a, listen to this, a supernatural lifestyle immersed in fearless rest. A supernatural lifestyle immersed in fearless rest. And this fearless rest is described different ways in the Word of God. But one of the definitions and descriptions of this fearless rest is in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. In Paul's last letter to Timothy, he wrote, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And this power and love and sound mind come from a supernatural invasion of the living God. As the love of our Father immerses us, as we get drenched in the sound mind of the ultimate mind, the mind of the Messiah, and as we get overwhelmed with the ultimate power, the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to talk to you about that a little bit here today. First of all, there is a place of rest in the loving arms of our Heavenly Father that He's bringing us into. This promise was made over Benjamin. In Deuteronomy 33:12, of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now Benjamin, Ben-Amen, is a word for the son of the right hand. Yeshua is seated at the right hand of his Father, and where are we seated? In heavenly places with him. So we are his right-hand daughters and his right-hand sons, and we rest between his shoulders as well. Our friend Heidi Baker, missionary to Mozambique. Yay. Here's what Heidi Baker says. Resting is not seasons of idleness, but seasons of resting in the glorious arms of the Father. Listen to this. There will be an increase through resting like we've never seen before. There will be a holy increase. More will happen in 1 minute that flows out of rest than has happened in previous years filled with activity. There is a Shabbat Shalom that we are entering into in the glorious arms of the Father. See, Yeshua said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And that place, I'd often thought, was the mansion that is mine, awaiting me for retirement by the streets of gold. But I believe that Yeshua was talking about more than our retirement home. I believe that he was talking about the place where we live now on our way to heaven. We can have heaven on the way to heaven. And he said, the place I'm making for you is a place where I am, where I know who I am and whose I am, where I discover who I am. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And we're told in John chapter 1, verse 18, that here is where Yeshua lives. The King James Version of John 1:18 says he lives in the bosom of the Father, and that word means between the shoulders of, in the embrace of. If I could borrow you for a moment, Michael, okay? If you could come and stand right here in front of me, facing me, okay? There we go. This is unrehearsed. This is just totally spontaneous. Okay, here is the place. Here is a place where we live our life. I'm the Father, Michael the Son. We live in the embrace of the Father. It is a fearless place. Perfect love casts out fear. You okay, Michael? He stopped breathing. Just hang in here for a minute. I'll tell you what. I used to hate times of ministry. If you're a minister and you don't like ministry, something is really wrong with that. And the reason I didn't like ministry is because after times of ministry, I would have PMS. Post-ministry syndrome. And I would rail myself over why I said what I said and didn't say what I should have said, etc., etc., etc. And one day the Father came and he said, this is where I've called you to live. You okay, Michael, again? I gave you a break on that one. Okay. Let me tell you, the revelation of living in the Father's embrace has cast so much fear out of my life. And it was in that place the Father whispered to me, why live inside of your own head when I've created you to live in my heart? There is this amazing place of dwelling in the embrace of the Father that is the ultimate Shabbat that goes on day after day after day after day. But on top of that, we get to experience the mind of Messiah. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, we have the mind of Messiah, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And Isaiah prophesied what the mind of Messiah is like. In Isaiah 11, he said this, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see. He shall not decide by the hearing of his ears. The amazing thing is we have access to that amazing mind of the Messiah all the time. All the time. Now notice, Paul said, we have the mind of Messiah. Often we get in trouble if we think that that verse says, I have the mind of Messiah. Because then we move into immaculate perception. But the fact is, we need one another, and it takes all of us together to comprehend the height and depth and width and breadth and to know the love of our Father and to know the mind of our Messiah. It takes all of us together. And his perceptions break deception. And it's from that place, it's time for us to get in our right mind. It's time for us to get into the mind of Messiah. He's the anointed one. The word anointed, in my circles, anointing always was kind of like brow cream, a little dabble, do you? We, you know, we just, if we anointed someone, we just like, we're, are we rationing this? We just, you know, just put, you know, just a little bit. But when people were anointed, the biblical, you know this, I'm talking to the choir, but anointing meant you were drenched. And it didn't just mean to drench with oil, it meant to rub it in. It was like the ultimate massage. And I believe that our Messiah wants to give us the ultimate massage. See, some of my friends are massage therapists, and they tell us that what you do when you give someone a massage is you look for knots of toxins, and you work the knots out. Can I tell you, Messiah is working the knots out of us. He's working out knots that are telling us we're not loved, and we're not cared for, and we're not watched over, and we're not precious in his sight, and we're not more than conquerors. He's working the knots out of his body so that the body of Yeshua rises up to be the body of Yeshua. And if resting in the arm, we won't do it again, but if resting in the arms of the Father and knowing the mind of Messiah is just amazing. On top of that, we can experience the outpouring continually of the power of the Holy Spirit. Continually, continually, continually. I love Jesus. Jesus said this. He said, I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I long for it to be kindled. You remember when two men walked with Yeshua after he had risen from the dead, and as he spoke of who he is, that's one place where I wish there would be a little more in the Bible. Yeshua, preaching Yeshua, is like pretty amazing. I'm hoping there is a video room in heaven where we can watch those deleted tapes and pick that one up. But as he shared who he is, their hearts burned within them. Yeshua said, I've come to set fire on the earth. I've come to cause your hearts to burn. And then this is what's said about him in Luke 12. I am distressed until it's completed. And the word distressed means I'm about to burst. See, we don't have a mediocre Messiah. We don't have a passive great high priest. When John saw Yeshua in his glory, his eyes blazed like fire. And they still burn. There's a passion inside of his heart to see us burn, to see us come alive with his power. He said, I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to drench you. I'm going to saturate you with fire, with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to saturate you with power so that you're a powerful people, so that you're a people that life doesn't happen to. You happen to life. And I believe today that every place that the enemy has tried to intimidate you and I are the places where we scare him the most. It's time to let the outpouring of Holy Spirit to empower us to be who he's called us to be. Because the power that's being poured out upon us is the same power that raised Yeshua from the dead. Yeshua was not just resuscitated. He was raised up. And we're told that he was transformed, and he rests far above all principalities and powers, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. Shabbat Shalom. The rest we're coming into is this place, resting in the arms of Father, resting in the mind of Messiah, and resting in the power of the Holy Spirit, and knowing that there is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. So, Yeshua got in a boat and he sat down on the pillow. I always wondered about that. Why did you pick the pillow? Why did you pick the best seat? Everybody else is sitting on wood, you're sitting on pillow. But the pillow was a place where the pilot sat. It was the pilot's pillow. So Yeshua sat on the pilot's pillow and he fell asleep. And a storm arose and he stayed in rest. Why? He had said, we're going to the other side, and he knew he was. And he rested in the word, and he rested in the promise, and he rested in the Father's arms. And when they woke him up, he simply stood up, and what did he say? Peace to the waves, peace to the winds. What reigned in his heart reigned upon the situation. That's the rest that we've been called into. So I declare over you today, I encourage you to even receive it now from the Lord of the Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm not a big hugger, but I might have just got healed of that. I don't know. Thank you, Pastor Hess. It's such a blessing to see men like him from the nations that come and they just get what God is doing among us. And he's just mishpacha. You know, he's part of the family, and that's just something that is the Lord is doing in these days with the Messianic Jewish revival. So now we are going to open the ark, and we're going to enter into the Torah service as the young adults lead us, along with Marty Goetz, Emma Leitzen, and Javier Cumming, if you would. And we're going to begin with the Ein Kamocha prayer. So please join together with Emma in the English.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, and the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Ein kamocha ba'Elohim Adonai v'ein k'ma'asecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim umemshaltcha v'chol dor v'ador. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai yimloch le'alam va'ed, Adonai oz le'amo yitein, Adonai yivarech et amo v'shalom.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from before you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Vayehi bin Soah Aaron vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai v'yafutzu oyvecha v'yenusu misanecha mipanecha ki mitzion teitze Torah ki mitzion Tetze Torah Udvar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenetan Torah Torah Baruch Shenetan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kedushato.
Shout, shouts of joy
and victory resounding the tents of the righteous of the Lord.
Shouts of joy and victory resounding the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand is lifted on high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. Lifted on high, Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. Lord's right hand reigns on high. Lord's right hand reigns on high. So we bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. And bless His holy.
Israel, sing, rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. the midst of us. He is mighty.
You could be seated as we read from the Torah now. Excuse me. Our portion this week is Parsha Balak. We're going to be reading from Numbers 24, verse 14 through 17. Numbers 24, verse 14 through 17. Yamod Yosef ben Michael la Torah ve Daniel ben Misakim la Torah.
Baruch et Adonai Hamavorach. Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Leolam Vaed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Barchar Banu Mikol Ha'amim Benatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Adonai Notein HaTorah.
ועתה, הנני הולך לעמי, לך היעצך, אשר יעשה העם הזה לעמך באחרית הימים. וישא משלו, ויאמר נאום, בכל עם בנו, באור, ונאום הגבר שתום העין, נאום שמה אמר אל ויודע דעת עליון, מחזה שדי, יחזה, נפול וגלוי עיניים, אראנו ולא אתה, אשרנו ולא קרוב, דרך כוכב מיעקב, וקם שבט מישראל, ומחץ פעתי מואב, וקרקר כל בני שת.
This is Joel Ruditsky from Irvine, California. He's going to read the English, Numbers 24, verses 14 through 17. Ready? Yeah.
Now, behold, I am going back to my people. Come, let me counsel you what these people will do to your people in the latter days. Then he uttered his oracle, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the strong man whose eye is open. The oracle of one hearing God's speech, one experiencing Elyon's knowledge, one seeing Shaddai's vision, one fallen down, yet with open eyes. I see him, yet not at this moment. I behold him, yet not in this location. For a star will come from Jacob, a scepter will arise from Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of the sons of Seth.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Natan Lanu Torat Emet Bechaye Olam Nata Bitocheinu Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah.
Amen. I'm going to say a Mishaberech, a blessing over Danielle here. He just finished his IDF service, and we heard that from his parents. How about that? And he's just a magnificent dancer, and the Lord's really been using him to lead the dance. So, Mi Shebeirach Avoteinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Hu Yevarech Et Daniel Ben Maxim B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. May he who has blessed our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bless Daniel, son of Maxim. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. As we now proceed with the Haftorah reading, we're blessed to have Rabbi Eric Lakatos. He's going to come up and read from the Haftorah.
Adam Yesner, please come. We're going to have the Vizot HaTorah first. There he is.
Torah Asher Sam Moshe Livnei Vnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biad Moshe. And this is the Torah. Go ahead. I'll say it. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen. Hallelujah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam Asher bechar ben vihim tovim Baratza v'divarehem Hene'emarim be'emet Baruch atah Adonai Habocher b'Torah U'v'Moshe avdo U'v'Yisrael amo U'v'Nvinyei ha'emet V'atzedech. Amen.
We are reading Micah chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Amo me asiti lecha umaha haletecha anebihi ki haletecha maretz mitzrayim umabit avadim paditecha va'ashlach lefanecha et Moshe Aharon u'Miriam ami zacharna mayet balach melech Moav Uma ana oto balam bin bor min hashtim ad hagilgal lema'an da'at sedechot Adonai. Amen. And in English? Oh, Hannah. Okay.
Hannah Miku from Toronto is going to read the English. You ready?
O my people, what have I done to you? Or how have I wearied you? Answer me. When I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember, please. What did Balak, king of Moab, propose? What did Balaam, son of Beor, answer him? From Shittim as far as Gilgal, so that you might acknowledge the righteous acts of Adonai.
Good job, Hannah. Thank you, Hannah. Good job, Yashar Koach. As we continue now with the Brit Chadashah reading, the reading this week is taken from Romans 11, verse 25 through 27. And we have Veronique is going to do the reading. Veronique is from Israel also, and Ruthie Stepakov going to do the blessings of the Brit Chadashah.
Baruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Mashiach Yeshua, v'hadibrot shel Brit Chadashah. Baruch ata Adonai, notzein ha-Brit Chadashah.
הן אחי, אינני רוצה שיעלם מכם הרז הזה. פן תהיו חכמים בעיניכם, קהות לב, אחזה במידת מעט ישראל, עד אשר ייכנס מלוא הגויים. וכך כל ישראל יבשע, כמו שכתוב, ובא מציון גואל, וישיב פשע ביעקב. ואני זאת בריתי אותם, כי אסלח לעונם.
Hallelujah. Well, when she read that word, Kol Yisrael Yivasha, that sends a little spark, doesn't it? All Israel shall be saved. Kol Yisrael Yivasha. Great job, Veronique.
For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we repackage the Torah and the Haftorah, Tatiana is going to lead us in the English of the Etz Chaim prayer. So please remain standing. And Adam, we're going to need some help over here. Adam Yesner, come on.
It is a tree of life to those who take hold of it, and those who support it are blessed. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of its paths are peace. Bring us back to you, Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days. Renew our days as of old.
Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba v'tom he'ameyusha d'racheha d'archei noam v'chol netivoteha shalom hashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh, Chadesh Yameinu Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem Amen.
Well, join me in singing Aleinu. Aleinu l'shabeach l'adon hakol L'tet gedula l'yotzeh breshit Shelo asanu k'goye haratzod V'lo samanu k'mishpichot ha'adama Shelo sam elkeinu kahem V'gor aleinu k'chol ha'monam V'anachnu korim Umodim lifnei melech malchei hamlachim hakadosh baruch hu Shehu notei shamayim v'yoset aharet U'moshav yekaro b'shamayim mima'al U'shechinat uzo, u'shechinat uzo B'gavei merumim U'eloheinu einod Emet malkeinu efezulato Kakatuv v'torato V'yadata hayom Ashashev One more time V'yadata hayom V'hashevota Elivavecha Ki Adonai Hua Elohim B'shamayim Mimal V'al ha'aret V'al ha'aret Mitachad Einod Einod
And it is said, in that day the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day the Lord shall be one, and his name one.
Amen. Benemar V'hayadonai L'melech al kol haaretz Bayom ha'hu, bayom ha'hu, yeh Adonai echad, u'shemo, 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 echad.
Shemo Echa.
Amen.
Amen. You could be seated. Hello, everybody. Everyone remember me? So the person that will be coming up next is someone that I would say I've known for practically my whole life. They are like a father to me. It is, in fact, my father. My dad, Michael Stepakoff, is the rabbi of Temple New Jerusalem in Dunedin, Florida. Claps. he is on the MJAA Executive Board and the IAMCS Steering Committee, and he is also this year's Messiah Conference Chair. He is also an author and a songwriter of many, and he likes to think that he has a big following for his video broadcasts. But, you know, it's a little skeptical. But anyways, everybody, give it up. Give a big hand from my dad, Michael Stepakoff.
What a blessing to be introduced by your son. And maybe it's a sign of the times. No. Numbers 23:21. Adonai Elohavimo utruat melech bo. Adonai, their God, is with them. The shout of a king is among them. The people of Israel have a secret weapon, our king. The survival of the Jewish people after 4,000 years, two exiles, persecution like no people has ever seen, which has now culminated in the restoration of Jewish people in the land, the return of Jewish people to the Messiah, the liberation of Jerusalem that we're celebrating, the 50th year right here. It can only be explained in one way. The shout of a king is among them. Balaam, the sorcerer who was hired out to curse Israel, saw this. He could not curse, he could only bless. And he saw the reason why, because as he said, the shout of a king is among them. Numbers 24:17, he also said, for a star will come from Jacob, and a scepter will arise from Israel. We were singing that song earlier, weren't we? Darech Kochav mi Yaakov v'kam shevet mi Yisrael. You know, Balaam saw what the kings and leaders and prime ministers and ambassadors of today in the world need to see, that those who condemn Israel are condemning themselves. The United Nothings could learn a thing or two from old Balaam, as they are affectionately called in the land of Israel. He found he could not condemn Israel because the shout of a king is among us. Hence, the weapons of this world have no power against us. And I think everyone who aligns themselves with the people of Israel, everyone who's praying for the peace of Jerusalem will prosper. Everyone who aligns themselves with the people of Israel today, because this is the time to favor Zion. You're in that pocket where no weapon formed against you will prosper, because God has blessed it, and no one can condemn what the Lord has blessed. There is a time and season for all things, and this is the time to favor Zion. The scepter is in his hand, this kochav, or star, which he said would come out of Jacob. This is why I think, there's different perspectives on this, but this is why the Star of David is on the flag of Israel. I believe it represents the Messiah, King of Israel. That's why, historically, this guy Shimon ben Kaziba in the 130s AD changed his name to Bar Kokhba, because he was trying to align himself to this scripture Kochba means star, son of the star, for a star will come from Jacob. So he understood it. He was a false Messiah, but he understood the star of David represents Mashiach. Now that star is on the flag of Israel, represents this star that will come forth out of Jacob. The scepter is in his hand, and he's the anointed king that's in the midst of us. La Dor Vador, a great expression among the people of Israel. And as you look at all these youthful faces up here, it really makes you think about it. From generation to generation, the Jewish people have been keeping this thing going for a long time. And, you know, in the 60s, it was Bob Dylan who told the world, the times, they are a-changing. And indeed, the times are changing always, and they still are, but there's one thing that never changes. The king is in the midst of us. Hebrews 13:8, Yeshua HaMashiach, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we keep our eyes on him who was, is, and is to come, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the king. He's the one that really, if we keep our eyes on him, this thing will keep going until the end of the age. The times are changing. You know, in the last 20 years, the world has quickly morphed into an electronic age in which everyone has access. And there are hundreds or even thousands, I think, of people participating in this Shabbat right now that are not even in the room with us. I want to welcome our live stream audience, wherever you are. They're all across the North America. I think there's some folks in Israel right now that are watching this because it's morning here, it's evening there. They're probably sitting there rejoicing with us. That's a beautiful thing. But, you know, social media in particular has drastically changed the world. Whether business, politics, education, or indeed the ministry, the times have changed, the technology has changed, but the message is the same. The shout of a king there in the Torah in the Hebrew is Truat Melech. Truat is the Hebrew word for the sound that the shofar makes. You know, that's why Rosh Hashanah is also called Yom HaTeruah. Truat HaMelech, the shout of the king. The Truah sound is like this. One day, yeah. One of my few gifts. My internal shofar. One day the archangel will sound. It won't be me doing it. The archangel will sound. The whole world will hear it. They won't even have to put it on CNN. All the world will see it. The heavens will open. Yeshua coming back, the Lord of hosts, with the malachim, the angels riding the chariots, him on the white horse, to take his throne in Jerusalem. In all this that the Lord is doing right here with the revival of Israel, it's the last link. It's to prepare the way. I've gotten into the routine of being pretty active on social media. As my son pointed out, making and posting videos. I do have a large following. I don't know what he's talking about, but, you know, different perspectives on how you define large. You know, for them, it's a lot larger. But it's interesting because I post a lot of stuff, and I do some dumb stuff like pictures of my dog and myself, my family. That's not dumb, but I do mostly post a lot of spiritual stuff, scriptural, inspirational, and the videos are always the most popular, and I like to take accounting every now and then to see what people are looking at. And it's interesting because I recently went back and did that with all the videos I posted for 2017, just to see, you know, what people are out there are responding to. It's the only way you can really get a sense of it. And so I found something really amazing when I did that in terms of what the number one video was that I posted in 2017. Now, as I said, I put out all these teaching videos and Bible-based spiritual stuff. Back in January, We were having dinner at home on Saturday night, which is something that Tara and I and our kids like to do. It's like a Stepakoff family tradition on Saturday night. I made a nice dinner, spaghetti carbonara with turkey bacon. So I know someone was going to send me an email on that, so just to be sure, a little disclaimer. And so, you know, we like to celebrate life in our home, especially on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, as the Shabbat is departing. It's just such a beautiful time. And I was streaming some music on my iPhone, which I like to do at family dinner. And the next thing, as I'm finishing my meal, and Tara gets up to start on the dishes, which is kind of our deal. I like to create, and she likes to clean up the meal. And so that's cool. But I was finishing up, and she was over there doing the dishes, and I look over there, and she's dancing right there in the kitchen with a pile of dishes in front of her. So I handed my phone to my son, David, and said, "You got to film this." He recorded it, handed it back. I pushed a couple of buttons, and voila, a few minutes later, there was a 40-second video of a Messianic rabbi's wife dancing in the kitchen. By the next morning, 12 hours later, there was over 1,000 views. I think it came in like up around 1,400 by the end of the day. Likes and comments and responses galore, way more than the teaching videos. And this raises a fundamental question. Why is it that the Rebbetzin dancing in the rabbi's kitchen before a pile of dishes is of such interest, even more than the spiritual stuff? And here's the answer. Because it is spiritual stuff. L'dor v'dor. Our people have learned to celebrate life, the good times and the bad times. We lift the cup of salvation and we say, L'chaim, to life. The MJ president, Rabbi Larry Feldman, opened his conference. He was talking about all these different times. Some of them really were not the best of times. They were hard times in his life, but he ended every one of those segments with, "It was the best time of my life." And this is a gift that the Jewish people have had to celebrate life from the time in the wilderness when Balaam looked down upon us to when we were living in Israel in the temple times to living in the shtetls of the Pale of Settlement, living here in America or Baaretz in the land, in Eretz Yisrael. We lift our cup and say, L'chaim. Yeshua said in John 16:33, "In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The shout of the King is among us." He's always in the midst of us, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what else is happening in the world. Now, I'm not going to play that video. I know some of y'all are thinking, when's he going to play that video? I'm not. And the reason, there's a good reason for that. you can go to my Facebook page and friend request me. But the problem is, she's speaking tonight, and she's got some video on me. So, you know. And anyway, I want to share something as I close my message this morning that is in regard to my first Messiah conference. I came to my first Messiah conference in 1994. And by the way, I can't believe that this is the last day. It seems like so much happens each day, doesn't it? It seems like we've been here for a long time, but let's make the best of it while it lasts. 1994 was my first. I didn't know what was going on. It was an incredible, amazing time. The Lord was pouring out his spirit in marvelous ways. I don't think I really understood it. I was new in the Lord. And I was playing basketball in the Hitchcock Gym, which is closed this year, and having a great time. There were all these guys from Philly in there that loved to play basketball. And I met Joel and David Chernoff. And Joel was on my team, and David was on the opposing team. And both Joel and David were great players back in the day. And David was tearing it up. So Joel said to me, hey, you, Mike, did you say your name was? You got to cover him. You got to put a body on that guy. And so I didn't want to do it, but I covered Rabbi David, and I wasn't doing very well because I was laying off of him because, you know, I was 29 years old. He's a Messianic rabbi. You don't want to cover a Messianic rabbi and basketball and put a body on him and all that. And so he scored on me a couple times, and Joel said, hey, Mike, you know, what's the deal? And I said, he's a rabbi. And Joel said, he looked at me and said, hey, you got to get over that right now. And so he got me all fired up, and I started playing lockdown defense and all that. And at some point, David went strong to the hoop, which he was good at. You remember that, David? He doesn't remember this incident, but he remembers all that. And I met Rabbi David in the air. We collided. Splat. I sprained my ankle really bad. Yeah, bummer, because you know you walk a lot, if you haven't noticed, at this conference. So somehow I hobbled my way in. That was a Wednesday. I hobbled my way in. I was like this, you know. It was really bad. And I was out there in the lobby, and I saw Rabbi David. And he said to me, you know, he saw me hobbling, and he said, he shared some story with me about how he had torn his Achilles at one time, and a bunch of people prayed, and he went in to get the surgery, and they looked, and the Achilles wasn't torn anymore. And he said that it was almost a complete healing. It was one of those things. And I'd never heard of anything like that before. I was new in the Lord. So I hobbled right in, and I sat down right about where that big camera is in this middle. I remember exactly where it happened. And the worship was going on, and people were just praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord like we do here at Messiah Conference. And all of a sudden, I felt this heat come on my ankle. It was like somebody wrapped a hot towel around my ankle. And it was the most warm and ecstatic and amazing feeling, because I knew that something was touching me. And my ankle was healed. I'd say about 90% my ankle was healed. Now, we're just talking about sprained ankles, but I'm telling you that when that happened as a new believer, for me, the hook was in. I was coming back to this conference. I was going to stay in Messianic Judaism because I knew this. I didn't know much, but I knew this, that there is someone here. We look around the room. We see all these faces, and people are changing and getting older, and younger people are coming up door of a door and all that. But there's someone else here. There's the shout of a king among us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, when you leave here at the end of conference tomorrow morning, I know that many people came here with great needs, health issues, broken relationships, finances, depression perhaps, whatever it may be. You know that there's someone with you. He's been here, but he's still with you. I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. That was Yeshua's closing words, and that's my closing words. Shabbat shalom. Would you please rise for the Aaronic benediction? And we're going to say the Aaronic benediction and then break for lunch. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In Yeshua's name, Shabbat Shalom!
We're going to take up an offering now. Wendell, will you pray over the offering?
Father, we thank you this morning, Yeshua. Lord, deal with our hearts and speak to us, God, of what we shall do, Lord. We know about our 10%, Lord, but help us, God, to be obedient in our giving, Lord. We ask you to bless those that have and bless those that don't have, God, and make a way for those that don't have, Lord, that you would make a way that they'd be able to give to, so you can bless them also, Lord. And we give you all the praise and honor for it in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Shalom, and thank you, viewers. If you're just tuning in for live stream, we had Messianic Jewish Alliance of America live stream conference. So things are a little out of order today, but thank you for tuning in today. And please join us again next Shabbat. And Rabbi sends his love out to all of you watching, and just keep praying for him. And they're on their way back, so just keep them in your prayers. And he just sends his love to all of you. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.